And I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter how far gone you are, no matter how steeped in sin you are, I've got a Savior, and He can turn your life around.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The church is special to God. Our message coming today from Pastor Brian Grant about how the church occupies a special place in the plan of God is not about any particular church, but it is about the church universal. That body composed of believers in Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost until the present day and beyond, till the shout from the clouds calls us to our eternal home. But yes, the church is uniquely special to God. There is nothing like it in God's eternal purpose and grace. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant takes us to Ephesians chapter 3, where it's described what it is that makes the church so special. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message. What's so special about the church?
GCA has a lot of football fans, in case you don't know that. I suspect that most of the football fans here, they're Eagles fans. So just to be clear, let me just check it out. How many football fans we have? Let me see, raise your hand, all the football fans. And you can see we have a diverse group. How many Eagles fans? It's almost the same number. I know there are a couple of... Are they allowed in here? I'm not sure they're allowed, but we're going to pray for their salvation today. Amen. We'll pray for their salvation today. But, you know, I got to find out that the Eagles fans don't like to miss the kickoff. So in the good old days when we would start the services at 10:45, at about 12:30, you'd see some folks looking at their watches because kickoff was coming. Am I right about that? You know, they were worried about missing kickoff because they thought the services were running too long. But you know, it's just interesting to me that sometimes we think that the game, that the service is long, but nobody ever seems to complain that the football game was going on too long. In fact, I got to find out that that if the game, the only time the Eagles fans are happy that the time runs out is if we're playing Dallas and we only have a 2-point lead and they're approaching field goal range. Oh, you're hoping the time will run out. But other than that, we want the game to go on. We even want the game to go into overtime. We can get some extra time. Man, I tell you, wouldn't it be nice if we felt the same way about church? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was here for kickoff? Amen. Wouldn't it be nice that if today I decided to go into overtime, everybody would be cheering. Take us into overtime, Pastor Brian. Well, don't worry. We're not going to be going too long today. But, you know, we all believe that the church is special, but sometimes we don't get quite as excited about coming to church as we do about watching an Eagles game. Am I right about that? Now, so far I've used the word church the way it's commonly used. But you know, quite often when we use the word church in our common usage, it's not what the Bible really had in mind. And this morning I want to share a message with you entitled, What's So Special About the Church? What's so special about the church? And we hope to do a number of things this morning. Number one, we hope to give you a proper understanding of what the church really is. But more than that, by God's grace, we want to answer three questions about what's so special about the church. I want to look at three things that will help us to appreciate how special the church is. This is God's masterpiece, amen? Amen. And we praise God that He has brought us into His church. Let me just share three things with you then. The first thing I want to share with you that the church is special because of the implications of its mystery. You can add that to your notes. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 3, and let's reread verses 1 through 6. And it says there, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he hath made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel." In the verses we just read, the Bible refers to the church as a mystery. For although the church was always the centerpiece of God's plan, he had kept it secret from all previous generations. And so before we go any further, I want to define for you what the Bible is speaking about when it speaks of this mystery. The first part you're trying to answer here, the implication of its mystery. So before we go any further, we better be clear, what is this mystery? Put this in your notes. The mystery in Ephesians chapter 3 refers to something known only to God until he chose to reveal it. The church is a mystery because the church was something that God had planned from eternity past, but he had kept it hidden. It had been hidden in God. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi and announced he was getting ready to build his church. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it." You know, it's very significant that Jesus went to Caesarea Philippi. The first time the mystery is mentioned is in Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus goes there to make this big, bold announcement. When we were in Israel, we were told that, and it sort of struck us, because Caesarea Philippi is very intriguing, the situation there, because Caesarea Philippi at that time was regarded as the most demonic section of Israel. When you go there, you're surrounded by a mountain of rock, and all just about every god is carved into the rock right there at Caesarea Philippi. All sorts of unbelievable orgies were going on, men and animals, you name it, it was going on there as the devil was putting on a show at Caesarea Philippi. Our guide said to us, there is no way that Jesus could come to Caesarea Philippi because no rabbi would come to Caesarea Philippi. You see, as far as she was concerned, she wasn't saved, but she believed the New Testament in great part. But this one area, she felt this New Testament was wrong because Jesus would not come to Caesarea Philippi. Jesus would not come into Satan's den. Jesus, as a rabbi, he would stay away from this God-forsaken, this demonic place. But she didn't know who Jesus is. Oh, she didn't know that Jesus was God. She didn't know that perhaps the very reason he chose Caesarea Philippi was because how wicked it is. And I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter how far gone you are, no matter how steeped in sin you are, I've got a Savior, and he can turn your life around. So Jesus marches into Caesarea Philippi and he makes a most profound announcement. He chooses Caesarea Philippi, Satan's den, to announce, "I am about to build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it." Hallelujah. Isn't that something? He was not just another rabbi. You say, but why is he talking about the gates of hell? Well, you see, in Bible times, cities were surrounded by walls. And of course, if you're going to get in and out, you don't want to climb over the wall. So you got to build a gate in the wall, right? That's the way to get in and get out. Well, the enemy knew exactly where would you attack if you're attacking the city. You're not attacking the wall, you're attacking the gate. So listen, the gate was really speaking about the security of that city. And Jesus is telling us, listen, the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. I'm going to build my church. The church, put this in your notes. The church has been guaranteed victory over Satan. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to keep backing up. Oh, some Christians are so afraid to share the gospel, and we forget, listen, Satan's kingdom cannot withstand the power of the gospel. For the power the gospel has power to demolish every stronghold of Satan. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? Amen. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? Aren't you glad that the weapons of warfare, of our warfare, are not carnal and they can bring down every stronghold? Amen. They're mighty through God and they can bring down every stronghold. There is power in the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus announced the coming of the church, the world was a very divided place. On the political front, the Roman Empire was in control. And if you were not a Roman citizen, you were a nobody. On the religious front, Jewish men dominated in every way. They were such a force. They were so regarding themselves as the cat's meow. I understand at that time, a Jewish man's prayer, his daily prayer he would make the point to God that he was thankful that he was a Jew, not a Gentile. Because after all, them Gentiles are dogs. He was glad he was a Jew. He was glad that he was a man, not a woman. Because his wife better not walk beside him. She better make sure she's walking home in his steps behind him. Because after all, he's not only a Jew, he's a man. And of course, he was thankful that he was not a slave. He was free because the slaves were less than nothing. But oh, I tell you, in a world that was divided by race, divided by gender, and divided by social status through the church, God was about to turn the status quo upside down. Oh, we sometimes don't understand how special the church is. Because it was the church. God brought the church into being at the very time of a tremendously divided world. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3. Just turn you a few pages back. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And look at these revolutionary words. When you consider the context and the time at which Paul is writing, here in verse 26, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Verse 28, "There is neither what? Jew nor." There is neither what? There is either what? "For you are all one in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ." And we say hallelujah. Put this in your notes. Through the church. You may have to add a little something to your notes. But through the church, God has united a segregated world. So what's the church? Put this in your notes. I'm sure you can improve on this definition because this is the Brian Grant definition. The church is the body of Christ. The church is not a building. The church is not something we come to. The church is the body of Christ. It's the mystical body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head, and in which segregated hearts, I wanted to put that in, segregated hearts have been transformed. Oh, don't miss that point. Segregated hearts have been transformed by God's grace and united into one body. In this mystical church, this body of Christ, made together of men and women and boys and girls of all races, of all social classes. Hallelujah. It don't matter where you listen. It don't matter if you live on the street or if you live in the White House. It does matter if you live in the outhouse. It doesn't matter where you live or where your background is. Listen, we are one in Christ. So don't listen. This church has a diverse group of folks. We're from all over the world. We're from all sorts. Some people have money in their pockets, some don't. But no matter if you're the one with nothing, don't feel like you are second class to anybody. Amen. Don't feel you're second class to anybody, because if you're a part of this church, God has made us one in Christ. Amen. We're part of God's mystical body. Hallelujah for what he has done. Listen, you know, in the world, Jews and Arabs still can't get along. First time we were in Israel, on our way to the airport, the military stopped us. They came, they went through the bus. You don't have to worry about joining us in Israel this year. And by the way, a few spaces have opened up for those who may still be interested in coming. But they stopped us, and they walked through the bus. They looked in your face. Somehow they figured they knew how to read your, whether you're for real or not. By the time we got back here, we heard that the Arabs had thrown a couple of bombs over there, but of course some of their defense systems knocked it down. You see, the Jews and the Arabs just still can't get along. But while we were there, we went to Jaffa, or Jaffa, as they said, and we visited a sister assembly. You've heard me mention this before, because this really made an impact on me in a country that was so divided. Because when you go to Bethlehem, the place is so divided, the Jewish driver can't even take you into Bethlehem because Bethlehem is under Arab control. But when we went to Jaffa, and visited our sister church, we saw what God had done in bringing his church into being. Because at that sister assembly in Joppa, there were Jews, there were Arabs, there were people from all over the world, other nationalities, and they were all there in the church. Some may not have spoken the same language, because the hymn book had several different languages. You could sing in whatever language you wanted to sing in. But here they were all together, worshiping God together, because they had been united at the cross. Amen. Oh, the cross makes a difference, amen. The cross has made a difference. And then the church, Jesus Christ, has brought us all together. And listen, you better not feel you're bigger and better than anybody else, because you're just another member of the church if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. So don't start telling us all about who you are. I have a feeling, though, that we're living in an age when the Christian church needs to revisit what God did. For it seems that many Christians have forgotten that despite our differences, we have been united at the cross. Never forget, my parents told me, they went to one of our sister churches in England, and they met them at the door, that told them they don't think this is where you'd like to be. And it made sure they sent them to a place where people who look like me were there. We have missed what God did. My brother and sister, may God help us. All those of us here, may God help us to understand what He did. That despite our differences, we have been united at the cross. Yes, the church is very special. What's so special about the church? One of the things that is so special about the church is that God has united us all at the cross. But there's another implication of this mystery that I don't want to miss before I move on, because it's an implication that we often miss. So if you would put this in your notes, the church displays God's wisdom to the angels. It displays God's wisdom to the angels. You say, but I thought the angels knew everything. What are we teaching the angels? We're actually teaching the angels something. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. As I told you, this mystery has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent, stay with me now, to the intent, what? That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You say, Pastor, who are these principalities and powers in the heavenly places? These principalities and powers refer to the good and bad angelic beings. And these angelic beings are learning about God's wisdom. The Bible says that they can learn through the church, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.